morning once again, and thank you for being here this morning. As we look to the blessing of and the opportunity of worship once again, many things are placed upon my heart and ask an interest in your prayers. I'd received our recent copy of the Advocate. I trust many of you did too. And I thought it very interesting. And it was really in accord with my attitude as well. And where God is speaking to his people. And I believe that he has been warning, he's been encouraging, he's been leading, he's been edifying and teaching. But I thought it was a very good and key time that it was put out, and there are experiences throughout the world where God's talking to his people that are listening. And I think there's really something to be said about that too. Talking to his people that are listening. And that really is an example to us that we need to be listening. And I wanted to basically, I think I had mentioned a couple of you, but I wanted to share something with you that I believe that was given to me as well. And there have been other experiences that have been coming about lately, but this one in particular I was caused to write down, and I wanted to share it with you. And this was a dream that I was given. This was the night of 220 and 221 this year, of course. And I'm just going to read it straight through as I was given to me. And I had a dream where I was driving to a certain part of town. And to stop right there, I don't know just what town or where. But anyway, a certain part of town where it didn't seem safe. There were many out of work and gathered around buildings, many people. First we turned back, and later we found ourselves back to this same area. Now, just to kind of interrupt there for a moment, and that is that I don't remember who it was that was with me, only that I felt the Spirit of the Lord, and I knew of a presence that was with me. But I can't tell you, you know, a name. And so we were back in the same area where there was a fork in the road. And this time some of the people gathered around our car, but not harming us, but seemed to be giving us words of warning. We did proceed this time to go in the direction we had not intended, but felt led to go. We were passing many houses that had people gathered around them, obviously impoverished and hungry. I noticed flocks of birds, especially turkeys, and plenty of them. The people ignored them as a source of food or didn't know they should eat them. We found ourselves at the home of a family of at least two generations living together. I remember quoting to them out of James to anoint with oil and lay on of hands by the elders. I then showed them how to dress and prepare one of the turkeys to be cooked and eat to help them know how to feed themselves. I believe that the groups of people were the world in depression, not knowing how to feed themselves. The family I went to showed me that the truth and the restored gospel of Christ Church will be witness to those whom God is leading. That was what was impressed upon me, and I thought I would share this with you. Because I believe that it is in accord with what I've been feeling, and I believe many people have been thinking a lot of lately, and been moved to tell you that we need to look ahead to prepare. Because there, I think, as many are experiencing now, a time of economic famine. And this coming year is going to be a very trying one for many people. And there are many that already are. And there is devastation in many lives. There are many people that are out of work. There's a lot of people that are losing homes. And there's a lot of chaos. And is it helping people to turn back to God? Well, that's a good question. Even though we realize and know that there's a lot of ungodly things that are being done. And so it's a time of great unrest today. And I believe it's a time unlike, we can call similitude to maybe the time of the Great Depression in some ways. But I believe that there are many things that are quite different today than what was in the time of the Great Depression. And people's hearts and minds are even different. And so, what I was also thinking and led to tell you, and this is rather apart from my sermon this morning, is that we need to take a look at our lives. We need to take a look at our homes. And first of all, we are doing the right thing this morning. We're looking to Christ. We're looking to worship. We're looking into the Father. And we are worshiping through the Holy Spirit. That's very, very important, very paramount. That is the focus and the center of life. That is the focus and should be the focus and center of our families and our homes and our sustainment. Okay? But I do believe just as Joseph was led in order to prepare that the house of Israel may be saved in there in Egypt, that we may need to look ahead ourselves, look at our temporal lives and look at things that we can do to take care of ourselves temporarily. And look at domestic skills that we may be able to do for ourselves. What could you do? And we might get a dose of it just for a trial run. What if you were without power for a couple of weeks? Even for a few days, what would you do? There are many things that you could not do that we rely upon for conveniences. You know, if you didn't have electricity, you're not going to have water. Unless you have a generator. And then how long is that going to last? And things like that. There are many people that might not even be able to feed themselves. Could you even cook for? How could you cook for yourselves? And there are many, many things. If there was some sort of devastation, the scriptures say that there is a time of tribulation that is going to come. And how soon is that particular time going to come upon us? And there's going to be a time that is going to be coming that even, and that we're not quite sure of, there's going to be a mark put upon people. We cannot buy nor sell without this mark. Okay? Apart from that, what could you do in order to take care of yourselves? And people are telling people today that don't put your money in the stock market for this or that reason, but take and put it over into gold. How safe would that be? Well, that's one similitude. During the Great Depression, they seized the gold. And if you held on to it and you were found to have it when it was confiscated, that you could receive a prison sentence. So no, that is not safe. And we know that, once again, ultimate protection comes from and sustainment from the Lord God Almighty. And if we are the sheep of His pasture, we will be protected and looked after. Not that we will not suffer some tribulatory times. Things become hard or harder to do. So we're reading in our Sunday school class this morning about that if you may suffer as a Christian or things of that nature. And where it's going to be harder to take care of our families. But we need to take a look ahead and we need to heed these warnings. When is the time to prepare for storm? When is the time to prepare for it? Right during it? You look many times throughout the scriptures when the prophets have warned of things to come. They have warned of famine. They have warned of pestilence. And the prophets warned them. And he told them what to do. And especially to turn back to God and to repent. And to turn to Him with all their ways. And he said, my people turn unto me. He says, and I will heal their land. And I believe that we are receiving many warnings. We are going to continue to, because I believe that within our nation, we have many people have turned away from God. In this nation, we can see it. Why do we not want to take a look at what is happening? Right now, we're in the midst of economic crisis. We're in the midst of economic, there is a depression to many people. We are seeing a famine upon the land, where God may be withdrawing His hand of protection because the people have turned away from Him. But most importantly, once again, that Jesus Christ and living for Him, living through Him, and applying His principles in our life and giving Him the worship and obedience that is necessary and in His and through our desire is what is important and paramount. But we need to look to His direction. And we also need to learn how to prepare to take care of ourselves. You know, we have gotten so used to modern conveniences, haven't we? We look at the day in which we live. 100 years ago, look to 100 years ago and see what things people needed to do in order to take care of themselves. And if you really want an example of that, I have seen that in many parts of the world. When you go to places that don't have the things that we have, and many of them are doing things the way they have done them 1,000 years ago. Are still doing them today, and they're tried true methods, and they take care of themselves. And they work together in little villages and within families. Families working side by side, as was mentioned this morning. And which also sustains families. Learn how to take care of themselves and take care of themselves temporarily. But could you take care of yourself without the modern conveniences that we have today? Would you starve to death because you didn't have an electric can opener? Or would you go naked because you didn't have an electric sewing machine? Or many such things like that. Or could you not get anywhere and know how to use your own two legs if we didn't have a vehicle to go somewhere? If there was a time of where even our vehicles, where we could not, you wouldn't even be able to get gasoline if we wouldn't have electricity to get it out of the ground. And so what would happen? And this our congregation in itself, how far apart is our congregation? Our congregation is probably 50 miles apart in some places. What would happen if things were in a time of turmoil and we couldn't get to one another? We couldn't even call one another. It's time to think about it, isn't it? And I believe the Lord is sending warnings, and I believe He's going to be sending more warnings about, you know, and we need to be in a condition of listening. We need to be able to listen. You know, if we believe in an unchanging God, today they're teaching a God that has, He said all He's going to say, He has said it through His scriptures, and He said, and it can be no more than the Bible, by the way. He said all He has to say, and since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. And He's spoken unto us through His Son, which He has, but He said all He has to say. And He's not going to speak to anybody anymore. I'm here to tell you that we serve an unchanging God, and He can speak to whomever He will. But we need to be in a condition to listen. To understand and to know. And he's going to talk to a listening people that are expecting Him to talk. And also a God that answers prayers. If you talk to Him and you ask Him to take care of you or to give you an answer for a problem that's in your life. People have real, honest-to-goodness problems. Where is the best place to get those things solved? But by talking to the Almighty God that knows every piece of your life, There's not one person here that He does not know every corner of your life, and you're not going to be able to hide one thing. But that God, that eternal God, can talk to you and can help you, can counsel, can direct, but as in as much as you will listen and you will respond. Because, like we were reading this morning, He knows, He that knows the mind of the Spirit searches the hearts. And He knows your lives. He knows your life. Most important is that obedience unto Him as children. And that's some of what I wanted to talk about this morning. And that is the children of Christ. And as we were reading this morning in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, I want to start out with a verse that we had read this morning in our Sunday school. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter. And this message, I believe, is going to be carried over into a two-part sermon. There are more things that have yet that need to be said. And I probably won't get to them. First of all, Romans in the 8th chapter. And let us read, start in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, we may also be also glorified together. Okay? And that we may, as a Christian, we may suffer. And I'm telling you that there are going to be times coming. And the Scriptures say there are going to be hard times coming. Alright? But it says in the Scriptures that I've never seen, I've been young, but now I am old, but have I yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I believe the Lord will take care of us. Just as we had an Elijah that was sitting by the brook and he was being fed by the ravens, or that he was being led to a home where there was a widow with her son, and there was just enough for them to be sustained for just a little while. And they were protected. And the Lord will look to our needs as well. And, you know, and I've heard your testimonies. I have heard where the Lord has protected you and has done things just in the nick of time. I've heard that there has been a check in the mail just when someone needed it. And when they had stepped out in faith in order to help or to do what they should do, or someone was debating on whether they should put in with their tithing, give to the Lord, that they went ahead and they went upon faith. And then the Lord had delivered that money and more back to them because they stepped out in faith. I've heard your testimonies, and you've heard them too. And the Lord will sustain His people, and He will bless them. We find that, as we're reading in 2 Chronicles, where they had sanctified the Lord, and they had taken the abominations out of the land, and they had cast down the groves, and they had torn down the high places, and they took out there was a time when they had put abominable articles of worship within the tabernacle of the Lord. And This would be a swift and a sure punishment when you would put something within the sanctuary of the Lord that was designed very intricately, and things were done within the sanctuary to purpose, to plan, even to a similitude or a likeness unto the future purpose and plan of Christ. And it was a similitude, and they were very, even to the incense was made a certain way, and the anointing oil was made after a certain recipe, and it had to be done a certain way. And if it, just an example of how important that was, that we find that there were two boys that were in mischief. And they went into the sanctuary of the Lord, and they burned strange fire before the Lord, Nadab and Abihu. And they were consumed. Fire came out from the Lord and consumed them. And Aaron was told, now you just wait a minute. Now you've seen why. And you know that the Lord is holy. And you know that he had told us that you were not to take and change the method by which things should be done. So you just hold your peace now. You just hold your peace because you know the Lord, He is holy. And so we never heard more of that other than that there was a awe-inspiring respect for the power of the Lord. But see, during the time that they had put abominable articles into the sanctuary, and there were a time where kings were raised up, and they were the next king may be a wicked king, and he may have built up those groves once again for false worship, such as the son of Hezekiah. He did not make good of his time when he was given extra time when the Lord told him, you need to take care of your household because you're going to die soon. And he cried unto the Lord and he said, haven't I served you? Haven't I taken care of these things? And haven't I worshipped you? And haven't I taken and done this and done that? And the Lord gave him an extra amount of time. I believe it was like about 11 years. But he did not take care of his household. He didn't teach his children. He did not teach them that they would be taking over the kingship. And so Manasseh, his son, built up those altars and so on and so forth. And didn't worship the God of his father. And there were abominable articles that were put within the house of the Lord. And so we got to find that with these similitudes, what about our lives? We've got to be careful we don't take fire into our bosoms, into our homes, and into our families. We got to be careful we're not engaged in a false worship, and there's wood, hay, and stubble. You know, we can make a whole doctrine and wedge it into the gospel of Christ and make a salvation issue out of it when it may not be. And there's different things that we can do, but there are important things that we need to do and that are showing a good example to those of the outside world. There are things that even abstain from the appearance of sin. We must be thinking of these things also. But we that if we are led of the Spirit, and it's very important that we're led of the Spirit in order to know how to decide as one of the children of Christ. Because as we were also reading in the book of Romans, in 8th chapter, the 9th verse, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we find how important it is to abide in the Spirit and live through it. Through the Spirit of the Father and of the Son, the witness of the Father and the Son. I would like to turn to 1 John 4:7. One thing I would like to hope to communicate is the richness and the fullness and the importance of being a child of Christ into being one of the children of Christ. And how he looks forward, and he looks not only for as one of his sheep, but he protects, he guides, and he strengthens. He teaches and he edifies his children. He takes care of them. And you are very, very special to your Father in heaven. You are very, very special. And he loves you so much. But I want to read here something to you. 1 John 4, 7 through 19 is what we wanted to do. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And the pure expression of the Father's love toward his children was his Son, Jesus Christ. The gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, that he would die for them, and he would be that eternal sacrifice for them. Beloved, so if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now, one thing I want to bring out this morning, I'm going to continue on here in a moment. One thing I want to bring out was that we need his Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to understand his love. We need of his Spirit in order to accept and to know of God's love and to appreciate it and to know why he loves us and why there was even a necessity of his Son Jesus Christ needing to be the Savior of the world, and how we can accept Christ and know him and live for him and live that we might have eternal life. We must have that Holy Spirit to truly appreciate and to understand God's love. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So we see how important God is love. And to dwell in God is to live in his Spirit, and to understand and to know. And we find so much that he has for his children. And there's so many things that are also revealed through his Holy Spirit to his children. And they're spiritually discerned. And it also talks about in the book of John that the world cannot know them. The world cannot know them. And it was rather key as we were reading in our Sunday school this morning about the carnal mind. Well, the carnal mind does not want to receive the things of the Spirit. It's an enmity, I believe was the word. Verse 17 says, here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And I believe that talks about an assurance. Okay, if we're living according to the commandments of Christ and through his Holy Spirit, that we have assurance. I believe that it is a wonderful thing to feel peace and assurance about one's salvation. That you are keeping his commandments. That you are living opposite the nature of sin. That you are walking in the Spirit. And that you also, through the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty, you can feel joy. You should be able to feel joy. That is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. That is a knowledge and a witness to feel joy about your eternal salvation. Jesus said when he was upon this continent,
in the Book of Mormon, talks about, he says, now is my joy full. It also talks in the Book of John. He says, now I have a fullness of joy. And he wants you to have a fullness of joy. And being a child of Christ, and being one of the sheep of his pasture, that he wants us to have joy.
But do we have boldness in the day of judgment? Well, that's because I believe fully when we stand before him in the judgment seat that we will embrace him because he has been not only a Savior, but he's been our friend. And it will be a friend that you've always known because you've lived for him and you've lived through him. Now we've had a portion of that Spirit. We've lived through him. We will know him. It'll be a familiarity. You'll know. I believe that you'll know him. Even though you might not have visually, we've seen only visual representations of him. Certain people have drawn certain pictures, and we think that he is this certain fair-haired person with this long flowing hair. Scripture actually says that there is no beauty that in him any man should desire him. He was a man of sorrows. And he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. And that healing is so, so important. The healing, or the appeasement of the divine demands of justice. The healing through the Spirit. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We have tried to be Christ-like, and we have lived through his Spirit. But he says, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. And we find and like he says here, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And made perfect in love is receiving and living by and through his Holy Spirit. Perfect love casteth out fear. And that's a thing that only you can say that you have that type of fear, or you do not. And if you have a peace about your eternal salvation, you have a peace about his presence. I testify to you today, it's a personal testimony, that I've walked throughout my life and my heart has never departed from the Lord. I've not always done things that have been pleasing in his sight, I'm sure. But one testimony, without the shadow of a doubt, that I can tell you this day, that I have never felt alone. I have never felt alone. I've told you the story when I was out hunting one time up in Gaylord. And I was out by myself, probably shouldn't have been. I was out in the middle. I know that I passed a sign that says, you have just now passed nowhere. And the only thing out there was some oil and gas fields and so on. And I was out in the middle of nowhere, did a dumb thing, walked away, went out hunting in the woods, and left the lights on in the truck. And you, of course, you know what happens when it comes back with a truck with a weak battery. And you're stuck. It's before the time of cell phones. There might have been cell phones, but I certainly didn't have one. Out there in the middle of nowhere. But I did not feel alone. Just laid my gun down, put it in the back, and said, well, Father, I don't know what I'm going to do now, but I do need your help. And I'm going to tell you what. They say if you pray for rain, you better bring an umbrella. And I walked out, oh boy, not half a block, out to this piece of road. And I stood there for just a moment. And here comes an oil field worker in his truck. He had everything, anything I would have needed down there. And he says, I thought you were flagging me down to help you drag a big buck up. And I said, boy, I wish that were the case. I said, but it's not. And so he was more than happy to come and help me out. But I did not feel alone. And so, but we love him because he first loved us, he says in verse 19. And then it goes on to say that if I say I love God, and I hate, if a man see I love God, hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And I believe that through the Spirit of the Lord, we will learn to love other people. There are definitely people that are just not easy to get along with. And there are people that definitely can put a burr under your saddle blanket and are not easy to get along with. But the Lord says we need to love them. And there are people out there that are just but a general love for mankind. There are people we might not get along with. We have to have a general love for them. But in order to love them, and in order to appreciate and know of God's love, we need to be susceptible and humbled to the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes. That's why he said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are, you know, are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He wasn't talking about grandiose things. Blessed are the rich and the powerful and all things. No, meek, submissive, thirsting after righteousness and goodness and all those things. Or Paul would also not have told us that when I am weak, then I am strong. Because our God fights for us. And our God takes care of us. We need to be careful. Need to be careful that in this day when we find so many things, I think there are things coming down the pike and the attitude of the children of men in this particular crisis that we haven't seen before. Many people relying upon, I hate to say it, people are relying upon the government for their blessings. And people, and there are people that are so duped about our present situation, thinking they're going to take care of us. And we got to be careful that we do not compromise values for a so-called prosperity. And we got to be careful that they're not searching to disprove our faith. And people, we can do that. We need to hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to the beliefs that you have. And especially, you know, we have the attributes of the fullness of the gospel of Christ. There is the restoration of the fullness of His, the beauty of His gospel. And that gospel is not ours. And we don't have an ownership to it. It is His. And it is out to the world. And we are being made responsible with what we've received, but it's not ours. The Bible and the Book of Mormon is not ours. The Church of Christ is not ours. But we can be a part of it. And we must be careful, and we must be on task. That it's just like I read out of that one generic Christian writing that was on there, that there are many paths, many people, many Christians believe there's many paths that lead to eternal salvation. So that we know that there are many doctrines out there too, and they are, those doctrines are the essentials of His gospel. Many people are inventing many things, and many people are teaching that changing God doctrine. And there are many, many things that I've tried to lump into and put into. And there are many things that are, once again, changed. And we must be safeguarding our beliefs and not looking to all of this for our answers. But we need to depend upon what we know to be true. Because, once again, there's an adversary that would love to take your faith away in many ways. And take you apart from His church, His gospel, and out of His kingdom. I'd like to turn to the Book of Mormon, page 154. Page 154. And I would like us to start at verse 24 at the bottom of the page there, on page 154, 2 Nephi chapter 12. And we're going to read through verses 38. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And I'm telling you what, it will not take you very long to take a look around today to find out that is what is coming down the pike here, real furious and fast. He's raging in the hearts of the children of men. Others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, and all is well. And I'm going to tell you what. If we live in a day where they say the most important thing has to be an important, well, I shouldn't say most important thing, but a legislation that puts off a conversion to digital TV so everybody can have MTV in their living room or whatever else to take care of themselves. Make sure everybody has a TV so that they can be interconnected to this country. That's sad. Pacification. To see what? It sounds like an Orwellian nightmare. All is well in Zion. Zion prospereth, all is well. Pacification. Long as I have these things that make me happy today. Long as I have these things to make me happy today. To interest me. To entertain me. To make sure I have my favorite food today. That I'm okay. If I have a few dollars in the bank, I feel good. I feel prospered. I feel pacified. I'm okay. Everything is safe. I'm safe because I have that in the bank. Others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security. We talked about the carnal mind this morning, didn't we, Randy? The carnal mind. Carnal security. They will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, and all is well. Remember I used the example last week that what if we had a terrorist virus in this country, and that it wiped out all cyber connections and wiped out records here, there, and everywhere, and they think that everything is so secure that you can't get into these encrypted sites and whatever? Remember, whenever you make a puzzle, there's a way to put it back together again. And there is software to put these things back together again in order to be able to know how much money that you have or where the deed to your house lies and all that kind of stuff. But if all these things were taken away, where do you think all the money is? Is it sitting right here in my wallet? Well, most of mine are scrap of paper trying to take and help me remember the things that I needed to remember in my particular wallet. But my money is in the bank just like everybody else's. And it can be gone in a matter of seconds. Then what is your attitude and your mood going to be like then? Will it still have a hope and joy in Christ? I hope so. Pacification. Carnal security. All is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, and all is well. Thus the devil cheateth their souls, leadeth them away carefully, little by little by little. We need to understand where our beliefs are. We need to live by them, live for them. And they are the essence of our daily sustenance. But he's talking about carefully. And that could be unawares. That could be little by little by little. We got to be careful that when the church, I'm talking about the church now, that when the world does this slippery slope down here in righteousness, the church does not do this. Just stay a little above the world. When the world does this, the church does this. Can't do that. We can't do that. That's not what we need to look to the pattern of Christ. We need to look at what he expects of his children. That's why he talks about people being peculiar. A peculiar people. When he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and he took them unto himself, he said, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. He says, now therefore, he said, that if you will keep my ways, keep my commandments, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me
above all the earth. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you are a child of Christ, that you are a peculiar treasure unto Him above all the earth. And He loves you. And He will care for you. And He will take care of you.
Others He flattereth, and telleth them there is no hell. And He said unto them, I am no devil, for there is none.
And I'm going to tell you what. You know my style of preaching pretty much. And I would rather invite you all day long and tell you of the attributes of Christ and give you that golden invitation, and that were enough. But you know, Jesus taught us quite a bit about what was to be lost and told us about what hell could be like. And one sister in this church that I won't mention, she said, you know, it's about time we've had a good sermon on hell. You know that? I said, all right. And there was a time. I know it's been a little while ago now. And it was called, What Are We Being Saved From? And we talked about some of those things. I don't know if some of you remember that or not. What are we being saved from? And once again, if we had maybe 5 seconds in hell, as opposed to 5 seconds in heaven, our lives would be drastically and dramatically changed. But He's saying that there is no devil. There is none. And there are many denominations today that are teaching that it's only man's inherent evil. And yes, we can get into enough mischief on our own. And I know that I'm capable of it. Well, I get in some real fixes sometimes. But there is a devil. And there is a hell. And there has to be an opposite in all things. There is a place of eternal blessedness. There is a place of eternal rest. There is a place of eternal joy. There is a place beyond our wildest comprehension where our tongue cannot even express the holiness that is there. But there is an opposite in all things. And there is a place of torment that people shall have to suffer. That it is as exquisite in damnation, separation, and it is all that the Scriptures say that it is. And the devil tells you that there is no such place. And many people say, you know, I'm suffering hell here and it's only can get better from here. Oh, I'm telling you, that's not true. And you know it's not. We feel many joys here. And the Lord blesses us so many times. And we are blessed to be here this morning. We are blessed that you have heard the calling of the Father through Jesus Christ to receive of His promise and to feel of His Holy Spirit and to be here this morning to hear and read the words of life. You are blessed. Jesus said, straight and narrow is the path that leadeth to eternal life. He said, few there be that find it. You are blessed, and I am blessed. But thus He whispers in their ears until He grasps them with His awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell and the devil, and all that have been seized there must stand before the throne of God, must be judged according to their works, from whence they must go, for a place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. And that's the government of the Lord upon His people. There's so much to be said about that, but that's another time. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what, you know, we got to be careful about that. Denieth the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if we walk carnally, we're walking outside the Spirit. And He says, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. That's important. We've got to be careful about that. We cannot deny the gift of the Holy Ghost. Woe unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And then find all those who tremble that are angry because of the truth of God.
And I do not believe that this congregation whatsoever is angry about the truth of God, or that we say that we've received and we need no more. I don't believe that we say that. I feel good about that. I believe that within your belief, your faith, and your spirit, those who are in the hearing of my voice believe that God could speak. And that there is the ministry of angels here this very day. And the presence of His Spirit. And He can make this place shake with the voice of thunder. For behold, he that is built upon a rock, receive it with gladness. And he that is built upon a sandy foundation, trembleth lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. And that's what's being said today. There are many people out there that have many flowery messages and things like that, but they'd be more than willing to snatch the Book of Mormon out of your hands. And that is true. They have rejected and they have failed that very message. We have received the Word of God and we need no more of the Word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and unto him that shall say, we have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. And that also speaks to our necessity to keep building, to keep maturing in this gospel, to keep to read, to know, to understand, to hear of His word, to associate with our brothers and sisters, His children. That we must be edifying one another, encouraging one another. And the Scripture also says, provoke unto love. That takes an energy. That takes a desire. Provoke one another to love. Say, we need to say good things. In their tongue, the law of kindness. We got to be careful about things. You know, I have to be careful about things, you know. There are things within the ministry. There are hard things sometimes that you have to say. Boy, I ask an interest in your prayers. Because, you know, I am not always the gift of speaking eloquently. I'm not. And ask an interest in your prayers. But we need to take have a spirit of belief. We can feel that joy. We can feel that edification. We can feel all those things through His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will be moving in our life. It is also the hedge. I call it the hedge of the Holy Spirit. That with the Holy Spirit guiding and strengthening, we're putting on armor. I believe that's a process we're trying to do. We're putting on armor, as it talks about in Ephesians 6. It's a continual process. And if we're continually putting on and fortifying and checking out that armor, you see, that spirit of evil, we can push off, put away, repel. We could tell him, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. But you know something? We must, that once again, preparing. And that's one way we need to prepare for the future also, if there is a time of tribulation coming. We prepare about the evil one wanting to come within our midst, within the body of Christ, contention, strife, or division. We'll be careful of these things and watch for them. And so, we need to be fortified within our congregation to put off, to keep the spirit of the evil one anywhere out, near our midst. Let's load for bear. Don't just be walking around with an empty cylinder, because it's not going to do any good. If your If you're out hunting for something and you come across something big, so to speak, while you're out there and you bring a BB gun, well, you're going to be in trouble. But if you're going out for some, you know, and you meet up with a moose, well, you know, you might as well just watch him and take pictures. But we need to be fortified. We need to, you know, as we were reading this morning, we were talking about we may suffer as a Christian. And it acquaints us with what suffering is about. It acquaints us with what tribulation is about. It acquaints us with not always getting everything our way. If everything went our way, if nothing bad ever happened, so to speak, if we always had enough money, if we always were sustained, so to speak, and always everything going our way, and there was something devastating happened in our life, how deep would that chasm be if you were never acquainted with anything that was of a knowledge to be able to know how to get out of it? And so there is so much, and there are some other points that I would like to make, and another area I'd like to go into on the subject of the children of Christ. But I think I need to stop there for this time. I thank you for your time, your prayers, and your love. Sister?